listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tons to go around, and we start in college basketball where the big news with all the tournaments going on, with the Selection Sunday coming up this weekend, and everybody fired up for March Madness. Zion Williamson is back. The news came out earlier today. The Duke superstar freshman is back for the Blue Devils. They'll be taking on Syracuse later on tonight at 9 Eastern time. So, Brad Powers, you are the college basketball expert. I ask you, how is that impacted tonight's game?
Well, first, Jonas, Zion Williamson, how much is Zion worth? And Zion's worth about 6 points to a line in college basketball. The spread of the game, who will win by how much? He's worth Zion 6 points to Duke. The expectation was coming into this game, the Syracuse game, was Zion was probable. So, you know, that was already built in the line. So Duke's right around a 10-point favorite before the Zion news comes out this morning. So with him being probable, about two-thirds of his worth, 4 out of 6, if I'm doing my second-grade math correctly, already built into the number. After the Zion news, now we see Duke, a 12-point favorite tonight over Syracuse.
So he's worth 6 points, what you're telling us. Zion Williamson, a freshman, is worth 6 points to a game just by himself.
Yeah, and to put that in perspective, compare that to someone that we all know about. LeBron James to the Cleveland Cavaliers at his height, at his peak of his career with a team that he didn't have a great supporting cast with. LeBron James was pretty much worth 6 points to a line, so Zion has about the same worth to his team as LeBron James. And it makes sense. Look at the results, what we've seen so far. Duke with Zion, 23-2. Outscoring their opponents by 20 points per game without Zion, and we'll count the North Carolina game where he got hurt because it happened in the first minute of the game. Duke's 3-3 and only outscoring their opponents by 2 points per game. So it makes a lot of sense that Zion is actually probably the most valuable player in college basketball.
And Fez, let me ask you that because it's interesting Brad brought up LeBron James as being a guy who is the equivalent as far as most value to a gambling line just as one player alone. In the NFL, who's the guy in the NFL that's worth the most, and does it approach Zion and LeBron territory?
It's actually slightly greater in the NFL because quarterback is king. So think about Aaron Rodgers when he's quarterback versus him being out. He can be worth up to 10 points when you go ahead and have him replaced by a replacement level second string quarterback.
That's amazing. So now, in seeing the news of Zion Williamson back for the Duke Blue Devils, how have Duke's odds to win the national title changed with the Zion injury status?
Believe it or not, Jonas, not that much, even through all this injury. So Duke's been right around 2-1 to win it all. And 2-1 is the second biggest favorite we've seen in college basketball during the month of January, February, leading up into March in the last decade. Only the Kentucky team in 2015 that started the season unbeaten, got to the NCAA tournament unbeaten. That's the only team that had shorter odds. So Duke's been right around 2-1 before the Zion injury, a little less than 2-1. Right now, as we currently are talking here and doing Straight Out of Vegas, a little over 2-1 for the Blue Devils. So bookies are bad. They completely factored that Zion was going to be coming back. There's been no major downgrade when it comes to Duke in the futures market.
And how much has how Duke has looked without Zion? Because before the year, everyone said Zion's going to get the hype, but RJ Barrett is the better player or potentially the better pro prospect. And they've got, you know, first round draft picks, lottery picks up and down the roster there at Duke. But seeing how they've struggled without Zion, I got to imagine that's only inflated the price on Zion and Duke when he does return, correct?
Oh, no question on that. And look, RJ Barrett's delivered, but a couple of the other freshmen have not. Cam Reddish, who was expected to be a top five pick, has really disappointed with his extra role with Zion out of the lineup. The point guard, Jones, has been a rather disappointing as well. And keep in mind, another key injury for Duke right now, they will be playing Duke the ACC tournament without their starting center, Bolden, who just got hurt in their latest game against North Carolina. I mean, what's his worth? Maybe a point to the line, but still already a shorthanded Duke team, not known for their depth, going to be playing tonight without their starting center.
So we are going to take a closer look at that Duke-Syracuse game coming up before the end of the hour. We will do a handicap on that game to tell you what to look out for and which side to consider betting on. That's coming up later on here on Straight Outta Vegas. But I noticed, though, there was a little bit, kind of a pep in the step of Brad Powers, you know, like kind of a guy who was really feeling himself. And I noticed that Brad was really feeling good about himself, but that RJ's not here. So, Brad, what do you think may have sort of lined all this up, seeing the news of Zion returning for Duke? Did you guys have a wager on something? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, you know what? I think we buried the lead here. The big bet between me and RJ, but we've been talking about it for weeks now, is when is Zion going to come back after blowing out his shoe in the North Carolina game now 3+ weeks ago? RJ said he was conspiracy theory mode. He was like talking about Zion's future, at least his leveraging with Nike. You know, it would be a weakness if Zion would come back and put on a pair of Nikes again. I was on the other side. I tried to, you know, be positive and say, hey, it's all forget the money. That'll be coming in the future. It's all about, you know, college, the college experience, going out with your brothers and going and trying to win a national championship. So I took the fact that Zion would return at some point this season and play for Duke. I did pay a premium to RJ. He took 4-1 that Zion wouldn't play this year. So I am $250 richer today. Thank you very much, Zion, for coming back. If he didn't come back, Zion, I'd have been $1,000 short. I'd had to put $1,000 on RJ's desk.
Yeah, and so RJ is not here, so you can gloat the entire hour. You can gloat. You can pop on whatever you want and just sort of celebrate your victorious run against RJ Bell when it came to the Zion bet and whether or not he'd return. Now, I didn't want to say anything at the time because I know how you guys feel, me being the square, me being the Joe, if you will. But I sided with you, Brad. All right, I thought Zion Williamson was going to come back because he just seemed like a different guy. He loves the college experience. He loves going to Duke. He said even if it was able to go to the NBA straight out of high school, he still probably would have gone to Duke. He loves it. So I found it hard to believe that just because his shoe exploded and he had a mild knee sprain, as mild as you could possibly get, that he wouldn't want to come back and at least try and play during the NCAA tournament. But I didn't say anything because I didn't want you to be aligned with me, because then you start to rethink yourself. It's like finding out you share a birthday with Charles Manson. You know, then you start to think, God, am I like that? I don't want that on my resume. So I kept quiet, but I did side with you in this bet all along.
Yeah, I think, Fez, you sided with me too.
Yeah, I did. I thought that the odds that you got were attractive. But then, as he missed game after game, I was certainly getting worried.
I wasn't. This is going to be a full pull behind the curtain moment. You know, I'm an ego guy. I think we all are. You have to be in this business because you're betting against the world. When you say, hey, I'm willing to not only say the world's wrong, but I'm willing to lay 110 against the world. You know, RJ has been picking on me because Zion probably missed a few more games than what was originally thought. I kind of fed into his ego a little bit and was like, yeah, you know what? I was 90% sure when we made the bet. Now I'm only 65% sure. And then I think last week I said I might be 50-50. To be perfectly frank, I was still thinking it was very probable that Zion would come back.
Could you pick up on this, Jonas? Brad Powers just said I might be 50-50. No, I was there. What you actually said is, when asked, what are the odds that he's coming back, Brad Powers? You said 50-50. Were you sandbagging?
Little bit.
Good for you. You know what? Good for you, Brad. Look, you got to play dirty sometimes. I'm all for it. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Now, you mentioned everybody's got an ego. You know where they definitely have one more ego in the room, and that's in Cleveland. We've talked a lot about the Odell Beckham trade. Odell Beckham goes from the Giants to the Cleveland Browns. A first-round pick, a third-round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers is on his way to the Giants. So, Steve Fezzik, that happened a couple of days ago. But now we have an update in Vegas on the future of the Cleveland Browns. What is it?
Yeah, so the update is we've been talking about how many games are the Cleveland Browns going to win this year. And a book in Vegas, a major book in Vegas, actually went ahead and opened up a number on the Cleveland Browns. And I got to tell you, Jonas, I was shocked at the opening number. The opening number was 8.5 wins. And the reason I was shocked is I expected it to be 9.5. I thought that there's so much enthusiasm for the Browns. They're the number five team right now in the futures odds to win the Super Bowl, that I thought the books would realize that everyone wanted to bet on the Browns, and because of that, they beat the bettors to the punch and opened at 9.5. Not the case. This book opened at 8.5, while all the money has been on the Cleveland Browns here during 24 hours. So now the current odds are over 8.5 wins. You have to lay -160. So that's basically the equivalent of a 9-win line. Vegas thinks that right now that Cleveland should win 9.
And so if the Browns were fifth favorite to win the Super Bowl and the betting, the over-under is at 8.5, what am I missing here? Who screwed up? Why is there such a disparaging a difference between 8.5 for wins and a team going 9-7 to fifth best team in the NFL potentially winning a Super Bowl? Was there a mistake made somewhere? Is this them trying to set the market and pit them against each other? How's this working out?
No, clear-cut mistake, and that's a myth that people have, that they always say, oh, Vegas knows more than anybody else. Vegas doesn't get beat, and Vegas gets beat all the time, Jonas. That's why people get kicked out of sports books all the time. And in fact, the book that did open this lineup has kicked me out for betting. They said, what did you do wrong, Fez? And I responded, I won against them. So yeah, you can bet $50,000 if you're a losing sports bettor, but if you're a winning sports bettor, you have to be careful. But bottom line is they put up a bad number at 8.5. And like you said, it's completely inconsistent with a team that is the fifth odds to win the Super Bowl. Now, certainly they could be correct that they thought that that's irrational exuberance to make the Browns the number five pick to win the Super Bowl, but there was no reason to open the Browns at 8.5. In my opinion, you could have just opened them at 9, and the bettors would have still bet the Browns over, more than likely.
Now, how often is it that you'll see an over-under win total on a team, say at 8.5? You guys always talk about if you like a bet, get it early, because if you feel like it's going to move, make sure you get it early while it's down. Is it often that an over-under win total on an NFL team does increase or decrease depending on how much action comes in, like it does from game to game during the season?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this really stresses the importance of the good story. When there's a good story about a team being really good and improved or being really bad, you got to get at your bets early, not late. Example, last year, the Buffalo Bills, nothing but negativity on Buffalo. Their season win number opened up at as high as 7.5, 7 in most places, wound up going all the way down and closing at 5.5 in some places. Guess what? The Bills won 6 games because Clay dropped a touchdown that would have won them 7. But the bottom line is you could have won playing the Bills over their season win or playing them under their season win if you got to the bet at the right time.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get back into the NFL. Now, in the NFL, there's a real head-scratcher because I'm not really sure what the plan is here, because news breaks that the New York Giants have agreed to a deal with a wide receiver. Now, you probably thought, okay, that's just from like last year or whatever. That's the Odell Beckham news. No big deal. No. It's Golden Tate, who is now a member of the New York Giants on a 4-year, $37.5 million contract, $23 million of it fully guaranteed, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So, Brad Powers, I ask you, because I can't figure it out, what the hell are the Giants doing?
Yeah, from an X's and O's standpoint and a personnel standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. First off, you're selling Odell Beckham. You're selling a wide receiver you didn't want to pay for, a guy who's 26 and in the prime of his career, one of easily the top two, top three wide receivers in the league. So now after you ship him off, you know, 24 hours later, you're going to decide to spend money, guaranteed $20-plus million on Golden Tate, who's 31. And when you look at a personnel standpoint, doesn't make a lot of sense because you already got your slot receiver, Shepard. He's not a great one, but that's what Golden Tate is, basically. And it's not like from the tight end position, Evan Ingram's a guy that your typical tight end can run and block. He's more used kind of like a slot receiver. So I really don't understand right now, Jonas, what the Giants are doing. From, you know, forget, you know, GM aspect, schematically, X's and O's. I'm selling the Giants officially.
I'm telling you, man. I think this, look, this happened a couple of years ago when, and I only, and brought it up yesterday, but the only reason I know this is because I'm the a-hole who bet on the Giants to win the division 2 years in a row. And it wasn't until late last year that I just said, you know what? I just overrated the Giants. I think they overrated their roster, and now they're scrambling to do whatever they can to try and, you know, piece it together. If it's a rebuild, just rebuild. Like, if that's what this is, then fine. At least you have a clear-cut direction on where you want to go. But you've got an aging quarterback. You just added an aging wide receiver after trading away one of the best talents in the league. I don't understand it. It's one of those moves that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, Eli Manning has been the subject of a lot of criticism over the past couple of years. Earlier today on Fox Sports Radio, Colin Cowherd, heard on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, weighed in on the 38-year-old quarterback, Eli Manning.
I think the greatest mystery in sports is, why are the New York Giants so paralyzed by Eli Manning? Cut him. He'd save $17 million. The last 6 years, he's 38 and 57, and he has nothing left in the tank. The Colts moved off Peyton Manning faster than the Giants can move off Eli. Peyton was coming off a 10 and 6 season, got hurt, and they moved on to Andrew Luck. And Peyton Manning still had gas in the tank. The Packers moved off Brett Favre, who just got him to the NFC Championship. Still had a ton left in the tank. Let him go. The Niners moved off Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls. He had a 14-2 year, got hurt the following season, exit stage right. They moved off. Eli's a bad quarterback with nothing in the tank. Why are they terrified?
So that was Colin Cowherd earlier today here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Fezzik, you're one of the best in the business at this. Where do you have Eli Manning in your rankings?
Yeah, the Herd is absolutely correct in his assessment. Eli, I got bad news. I had Eli the number 30 quarterback, Jonas. He was better than 2 starting quarterbacks. Oh, breaking news. Blake Bortles has been released from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, that was one of the 2 guys he was better than. Now I have him 31st, only better than Rosen as a starting quarterback.
That's unbelievable. The only thing I can think of is maybe the Giants are trying to show other teams around the league, we're not so cutthroat over here. In fact, we're so loyal. We'll stick by you through anything. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, how far have the Giants dropped in the eyes of Vegas moving forward for this upcoming season?
So, Jonas, their Super Bowl odds when they first opened up, and this is prior to this year's Super Bowl. You can already bet on the next season's Super Bowl. The Giants were 40-1. Where did that stack rank them among the 1 through 32 of the NFL teams? You know, a little bit below average, right around 19th, which I think was a little optimistic at that point. So, since the OBJ trade here for the Giants have gone from 40-1 down to 80-1, which pretty much puts them as a bottom 5 or 6 team in the NFL.
And I have the Giants as a bottom 5 team. In fact, they are my number 29 team. They're just a little bit worse than Washington, Detroit, and Oakland, and a little bit better than the Cincinnati Bengals, and of course, Miami and Arizona, my 2 worst teams still in the NFL.
Cincinnati Bengals. Well, you know, fortunately, nobody on this show is a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals, so I guess we don't have to worry. Oh, sorry, Fez. Sorry about that. Listen, I'm sorry.
Grew up dreaming I was Big Pete Johnson running over people.
I know. Look, it's either that, it's Boomer Esiason, it's Achilles Smith. I mean, you pick your poison there with the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, guys, moving from the NFL to the NBA, a story out courtesy of Rick Bucher of Bleacher Report, talking about the dysfunction in L.A. with the Lakers. The latest, according to Bucher and a source that he spoke to with the team, that Jeannie Buss, the owner, contemplated trading LeBron James after the leaks came out. She approached his agent, Rich Paul, about it, was so upset about it, assuming it came from Rich Paul. They have since spoken, and the bad feelings have subsided somewhat, but the story is out there that LeBron James, there was consideration on trading him after these stories came out, thinking that his camp is the reason that these Anthony Davis trade rumors poison the well, if you will, with the LA Lakers. Now, from a Vegas standpoint, how far have the Lakers fallen?
Yeah, so the Lakers at the All-Star break, there was a book that went ahead and put up odds, actually several books, will they make the playoffs? And the line was pick 'em, Jonas. Close to 50-50. The Lakers were a playoff team. There was also a line, will the Lakers win a championship in the next 4 years? So this year and the next 3 years. And the Lakers were 2-1 to win a championship. Well, fast forward 1 month, just 1 month, and now the Lakers, of course, are off the board to make the playoffs. They're less than 1% chance. And their odds to win a title in the next 4 years are they are now plus 400. So their odds of winning a title have absolutely cratered just in a three-week period.
It's incredible. If you were to go back to July 2nd when they signed LeBron James, if I told you, hey, before St. Patrick's Day, they're going to consider trading him because this team's such a diaper fire. I wonder how many people would actually, oh, no, you're crazy. You're just being a hater. You're being a typical Laker hater. This has gone as bad as you could possibly expect it. Brad, what's the plan? If you had to guess, what is the plan in L.A. with the Lakers?
I don't see one. Well, what is it? Where are the tradable assets? I mean, two of your best young guys, Lonzo Ball and Ingram, now aren't healthy. There's injury concerns for both. Lonzo's played pretty much half in his first two seasons. He's missed half the games. And now Ingram's report that came out last weekend, flying a little bit under the radar. It could be a blood issue. I'm not sure about the specifics when it comes to medical, but that's certainly going to be a major red flag if any team's willing to trade for him. I don't know what it is. Everything's a long shot at this point. I think even Anthony Davis going to Lakers is a major long shot at this point.
What's amazing is that the Lakers, rebuilding last year, won 35 games, even with some significant injuries. Jonas, I'm not sure they're going to win 35 games this year.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas, Fox Sports Radio. You can, as always, check out the show on the iHeartRadio app. We have got a ton going on in college basketball. But first, we will start in the NBA. We've got a doubleheader on TNT tipping off at 8 Eastern time. We mentioned the LA Lakers. They are dysfunction personified this season. They are in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Steve Fezzik, Toronto, a 7.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
Yeah, and shocker, I like Toronto in this game. I bet Toronto and the Lakers, what we've been talking about all show, they're a team with motivation problems. Their playoff dreams have been crushed. Their younger players have been told they're expendable, and this has resulted in a complete lack of effort on defense for the Lakers. And the Raptors are in a good situational spot. They got crushed Monday at Cleveland by 25 points. They've had 3 days to stew over that embarrassing loss. The play is on Toronto.
Plus, I'll say that's a Toronto Raptor team and organization and fan base who has nightmares of LeBron James for all the tear he's brought to their organization. This is their chance to get even, seeing a wounded animal, seeing somebody with not the roster maybe he had or not the legs that he had in Cleveland, all those times that he took care of Toronto and eliminated them. I would think Toronto's all over this game as well too, Fez.
Yeah, Van Vliet is of course injured, but he'll certainly be rooting his teammates on for some payback.
There he is. All right, next up, it is the back end of that doubleheader on TNT at 10:30 Eastern time tip-off. It's the Mavericks at the Nuggets. Denver on pregame.com is an 11.5-point favorite.
And I lean to Denver here. Denver is a much better team at home in their altitude. They've outscored their opponents by 11 points in Denver. So, Jonas, high-level handicap here. If Denver beats an average team by 11 points, how much should they be able to beat the Dallas Mavericks, who had their team gutted in the Porzingis trade? Right now, I've got Dallas as being the second worst team in the West. Denver should be able to win by more than 11. If they do so, they will cover, but it's only a lean, a strong lean. And the reason is laying 11 or more points in the NBA, very difficult thing to do long-term and win. You can get up 20 and still only win by 10 in garbage time.
See, that basic handicap, it would be like your B-side on your album. That's my greatest hit. All right, that's the one I'm playing at carnivals for the next 20 years after my career goes into the pits. All right, we go to college basketball next. We've got a doubleheader on ESPN. We talked about Zion Williamson. He is back for the Duke Blue Devils. They will be taking on Syracuse in the ACC tournament. And right now, Duke, a 12-point favorite, Brad Powers, on pregame.com.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Syracuse here, plus the 12. And yeah, Zion's back for Duke, but he's also been out the last 3 weeks. So I expect a little bit of rust for Zion. And keep in mind, Syracuse isn't going to be intimidated by Duke. Heck, they beat Duke with Zion at Duke earlier this year as a big double-digit underdog. Syracuse won that game outright. And for me, at least long-term, Believe it or not, Coach K is one of the worst in college basketball when it comes to betting against the spread in the ACC tournament. Since 2005, in 32 games, Coach K and the Blue Devils have only covered 12 of those in ACC play, so they don't routinely put a lot of stock and effort into the ACC tournament. It's all about the bigger picture, the NCAA tournament for Duke. Lean on Syracuse here, plus the 12.
And Brad, you would think that it would take a little bit of time to ease him back into the offense. A guy coming off the injury, been out for a little while, you would think cardio-wise, everything else, that it would take some time for Duke to figure out how to get Zion back into the offense and into the flow of the game, correct?
Yeah, no question. And while Zion's a physical specimen, to say the least, I mean, he's not known. He's not going out and running triathlons. I do think he'll be a little rusty, and it'll be interesting to see what his minute account is today. I don't expect him to be playing 37, 38, 39 minutes tonight. And keep in mind, on top of that, Duke already shorthanded their starting centers out for tonight and for the entire ACC tournament.
And look, if Zion comes out and he puts up like 25 and looks like the monster he was before he got injured, then we all know that Mike Krzyzewski and Duke was sandbagging us the whole time. They were just holding on to him. They were just holding on. They were teasing RJ because you guys had a season-long bet. And so here he is back to his old ways. All right, so Brad Powers, your best bet of the night is in the Pac-12 conference tournament. It's at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. It's Oregon and it's Utah. And right now, Oregon, a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and RJ only allows us one best bet per week. So not only is this a like, this is a best bet for me, top play that I've done so far this week. And I'm taking the Oregon Ducks minus the 4.5. Hear me out on this one. Kind of a longer handicap here. Little story time for the Ducks this year. I'll go back all the way to the preseason. Oregon was clear cut the Pac-12 favorite coming into the season. They were a borderline top 10 team. Can you believe that? A Pac-12 team was considered to be top 10 material. This we're talking at the start of the season. So what happens to Oregon? They lose their best player, Manute Bol's son, who is averaging basically a double-double, 20-10 guy, 20 points per game, 10 rebounds per game. He gets hurt, and the Ducks have been, you know, trying to find their way ever since. Well, I'm here to tell you the Ducks have found their way. Last five games, Oregon has won all five, covered all five, won those games by 21 points per game, but this is Vegas. It's all about covering spreads. How about an average cover of 17 points per game? Most will say, hey, that's just randomness. It's only five games. You know, they're just exceeding expectations by a lot. Lineup change for Oregon in this five-game stretch. They went with four players, all 6'9", all can handle the ball. More importantly, all are elite defenders, and we've seen it. This big lineup for the Ducks have held five straight teams to 62 points or less. No Oregon team has done that in the shot clock era. We're talking 30-plus seasons of basketball. Oregon's first time ever they've held five teams to 62 points or less. I'm taking the Ducks tonight, minus 4.5. Best bet.
And that's your best bet of the week, the Oregon Ducks, 4.5-point favorites against Utah in Vegas. And you're so confident, you're not even going to the game.
I'll be watching it, though. We'll be betting live from the friendly confines of my living room couch.
Okay, good stuff. All right, so that is Brad Powers' best bet, Oregon minus 4.5 against Utah in the Pac-12 tournament. It's going to be a busy Friday here on the show. We've got all sorts of stuff. We've got the NCAA tournament this weekend. We've got the finishing up of conference championship play, so that'll be fun stuff to look out for. Steve Fezzik, any final thoughts, any last-second concerns for RJ Bell after losing that Zion Williamson bet against Brad
No
Powers.
Concerns. I would just be careful about betting futures in the NCAA tournament. Duke just got a lot better with Zion, so less value on teams like Texas Tech, Michigan State, all those teams less likely now to win the title.
There he is, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers. I'm Jonas Knox. The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.